Landlords will usually ask for a security deposit of up to 10 months rent, which will then be fully refunded when the rental lease expires and the accommodation is left in good condition. So why this deposit is taken by normally by the landlord? Again, the amount varies. Normal practice is to take 3 months equivalent rent. So why it is being taken? Suppose any damages happen inside the flat. What type of damages? Any damages the user does in the flat premises. So to secure that from any damage, the deposit has been taken. Let's say for a particular premises, a deposit amount of 2 lakh is taken, and after the end of agreement, at the time of handover, the owner realized that the painting of kitchen as well as hall is being damaged by the user. So instead of giving back that full deposit amount, he may give it 50% only. So that is the use of this deposit amount. It is a protection for any type of damages, future damages. So it also protects against the fraud and ensure return of the security deposit. The tenant should get the terms in writing and received from the landlord. So most the cases the deposit is given without any receipt, but that is illegal. It is not good practice for the both the parties. So always ensure whenever you are doing or paying any deposit amount, it should be tracked in your financial statement or it should be legally recorded, and you should get the receipt also. So afterwards the owner should not say that deposit amount was not 2 lakh, it was only 1 lakh. So you have a proof in hand, the receipt of that deposit. So utilities. Landlords often include essential utility connections such as gas, electricity, water in their rental agreement. Again, these utilities varies case to case. Sometimes landlord gives all the furniture also. Sometimes landlord gives other facilities also, like Wi-Fi connectivity nowadays, cable connection. Then some landlords, they provide even the AC units, etc. Other regulations. Sometimes a landlord will include certain lifestyle restrictions in the rental lease. The most common, especially in South India, is that non-vegetarian food cannot be prepared in the accommodation. This type of condition is not in practice only in South India, but where many parts, where the owner, let's say if owner is Jain, so obviously he will not like to have the non-veg food in their premises. So this type of condition is specifically in South India, but it exists in many other parts where the owner is vegetarian or following a particular tradition. Then subletting is not permitted unless with the landlord's written consent. So what is this subletting? So subletting means nothing but the sublease. You have taken one property for a lease period of, let's say, 2 years, and after 1 year, without the owner's permission, you are renting or you are giving it as a lease for your friend for 6 month purpose. So that is called subletting. So it is a complete no. It is completely against the agreement. You have to intimate a landlord with his or her written consent. Then other regulations. What are the other regulations in the leasing agreement? In most cases, such terms and conditions in a rental lease can be easily negotiated with the landlord. So nothing is fixed. It is differs case to case, the relation between landlord and a user. Landlords often take marital status into consideration while or when screening the potential tenant. Why? What is the factor? If you search the renting options on the various websites like Magic Bricks and all that online website, where you will, most of the website you will see the condition bachelors are not allowed. Why? Most landlords are prefer for that family user is like that. They have a security in mind of their premises. They feel that if they lent out that premises to the family or a reliable corporate instead of the bachelor, they will get a fixed earning. In case of bachelor, if only one person is renting out, then you never know. Tomorrow he may run out of that premises, maybe he run out of that country and he may be a defaulter. So to make both interests, to protect the interest of landlord, most of the landlord doesn't give the premises to the bachelors. So bachelors and unmarried women may find it difficult to find accommodation without another person's formal recommendation or testimony of a good character. So that doesn't mean that all bachelors and unmarried women are not of good character. But in this scenario, it is very difficult to prove unless you are providing some testimonial. So it is not like that bachelors and unmarried women doesn't get at all a lease properties. No, it is not like that. But definitely they will face the difficulty. They have to prove that their character is good, they are honest, they are capable to pay that much amount monthly as per the agreement. They have to prove the testimony of their good character. Then rental control laws. So rental control laws have been passed by each of the Indian state government to prevent landlords from overcharging the tenants and to protect tenants from sudden or unfair eviction. So mostly every state has its own law, but the main outcome of that law is to protect the interest of both. Specifically, more protection is given to the tenants so that landlord should not exploit the tenant. So these laws set a maximum rental rate and outline the specific circumstances in which a tenant can be evicted, such as subletting without a permission, failure of payment, or poor maintenance of the accommodation. So these are some clauses where the agreement can be ended by the owner. So these are the conditions are, first is the subletting, that means the user cannot do another lease to a third party without the permission of the owner. Then failure of payment, if he doesn't pay the monthly rent to the owner, he is a defaulter for 2-3 months. Then poor maintenance of the accommodation, suppose the user doesn't pay the electricity bill, so under these circumstances tenant can be thrown out by the owner. So this clause, it should be put in the leasing agreement. Landlord must abide by these strict laws when they rent accommodation with a 12 month lease. So that is why we have seen earlier case, like most landlord, they prefer for the 11 month lease. Why? Because once your lease period it goes more than 11 month, then there are more conditions are to be applicable. You will get a protection from the law as a tenant. So that is the reason all these rules are applicable only in the case you are renting a lease more than 12 month. Then benefits of a leasing a home: minimal repairs and maintenance. So this is the most important benefit. Then more flexibility as compared to the, if you want to purchase your own flat in the costly cities like Mumbai, Pune, Bangalore, the cost will be too much. Instead of that, if you rent it, it is more flexible option. You can not, you, there is no need to invest a huge amount. Then choosing a flat or a bungalow on a lease. Location preference: an official may have school going children. So location preference is very important. Why? Let's say if your administration department want to hire a flat for a project manager who has recently transferred to Mumbai from Bangalore. So most the scenario, they must be having a small kids going to the school. Maybe they are going to the CBSE board or ICSE board. So the first preference for them is the location preference. The location of that premises should be near to that particular school. And next is the preference regarding ground floor, first floor or upper floor. So this type of preference is also needed. In some cases where flats are very near to seashore, then mostly upper floor has more value because you will get excellent views, you can get excellent sea breeze. Then very important crucial aspect is the parking place. In parking place also there are two categories. One is open or shelter. So open, obviously there is no limit, height limit. If you are having SUV or any big luxury car, height wise no question to park in the open. But let's say if it is a shelter, mechanical parking in a big tower, then all the mechanical parking has a height restriction. Then if you are having SUV, that SUV cannot go into that shelter parking. So you should be very careful which type of parking option is provided by the owner. Then lift facility. If you are staying a flat on a, let's say, 12th floor, 28th floor and all that, so without lift it is not possible. So nowadays even they put it lift with a generator backup facility clause also. They look for that generator backup also. So standby power source that is required. So if the emergency, if the lift electricity goes down and if you are living on the 20th floor, it is impossible to walk across the 20th floor. So a standby power source is needed. Then smooth approach towards the road for easy access. This is another important aspect while leasing a property. Then cleanliness of the locality and surroundings. Locality should be clean. Then proximity to the company, office and factory. So it should be not more than 10 to 20 kilometers. If you are driving and if you are using any public transport, then it should not be more than, let's say, 10 to 30 kilometers. Then proximity to shopping complexes such as mall, vegetable market. This is very again important thing. Overall safety and security. So whether 24/7 watchman or security is provided, whether is there any inbuilt security cameras are there in that premises. Then independent electrical meter, whether you are using a special electrical meter. Then abundant clean and fresh water supply, availability of a bore well, whether your premises is getting 24/7 water. Then what are the documentary verification before finalizing the lease agreement? First and very important one is the title deed of ownership. The title should be very much clear. There should not be any dispute in the owners. This is more applicable when there are more than one owners. Otherwise, one owner will be ready to sign the agreement, another owner will say he will not enter into agreement. Then it is a problem. Then approved plan of a building. The plan should be approved by the local authorities like BMC, etc. Then sale and purchase deed of that flat. The owner should be able to provide a sale and purchase deed of the flat, whether he is the authorized person who can do this transaction. Latest receipt of the tax paid, like water tax, electricity bill, etc. The latest receipt of the electricity bill paid. So if owner is not unable to provide the electricity bill paid receipt, that means the property is not on his or her name. Then revenue index. Why this revenue index is important? Because as per this you can see whether the owner has paid the required stamp duty in this transaction. So every area has, government has given a special revenue index for collection of this stamp duty. Now let's see one example how the leasing activity is benefited. So let's see this example. This example is of a car leasing versus car buying. So if you see the statistics, it is viable to lease a car instead of buying. So that is why if you see this buying thing is been shown in the red. Why? Because it is not economically feasible. If you see the cost here, if you see 30,000 mile maintenance per year, whereas here only 15,000 mile allowance per year. So if you compare all the benefits of buying a car and leasing a car, most of the cases, not most of the, you can say 90% and more, leasing is a very much viable option. So most shoppers pay cash for a new car. So if you want to purchase, let's say, Honda City, then buying option will be very much costly. You have to pay that much car cash, or you have to go for the car loan. But instead, if you opt for the leasing, the financial liability on you is very much less. So while many people take out a car loan, leasing a new car is simply another form of a new car financing. So it is also a type of car financing only, but the way of financing this car is different. Then benefits of a leasing a car. Leasing a car is similar to financing the purchase of the car in many ways, but there are some key differences. What are the differences? You might be able to get more car for less money for leasing. That is because car loan is based on the full price of a new car, while lease is based on only a percentage of car price. So let's see, the Honda City current Mumbai price is, say, 15 lakhs inclusive of taxes. So the car loan EMI will be calculated on this full price. But instead, if you go for the lease, they will not calculate the lease EMI or the lease loan period on based on that full value of 15 lakh. It may be only partial. They may calculate the 1 year value of that car on maybe 5 lakh. So it is economically beneficial for the user. So for example, this car, the price of the car is 20 lakh. You need entire 20 lakh finance to purchase, or the buyout option for this car as a loan. But as a other side, with a car lease, you only pay the difference between the car's price and what is expected to the worth at the end of this lease, which is a car's residual value. So if the car's residual value is, say, 55% after the 3 years, for example, that means that 20 lakhs car would be worth of just 11 lakhs at the end of the lease. So it is advisable for the lease instead of complete outright purchase. So you make lease payments on the remaining 9 lakhs, not the full 20 lakhs. So comparison wise, it is less than 50% liability. Where is 20 lakh and where is 9 lakh? If you see 50% of also, it is 10 lakh. So it is even below than 10 lakh. So this is the comparative statement of the three situations or three scenarios. First is the outright purchase. Second is the loan finance lease. And third one is the operative lease. So outright purchase, what are the factors influence in the outright purchase? Pay outright and you have to finance own, claim for depreciation, acquisition, registration formalities you have to do on your own, insurance, damage repairs, dealing with suppliers you have to do on your own, authorizing and paying to the suppliers, and plus reselling the car, etc. So the owner or the company takes the risk of all these things. Whereas where you are financing or loan finance lease, so you have to borrow the money from the bank or financial institution to buy the car. Let's say if your company is taking a loan, or you are taking an individual finance loan from HDFC or ICICI, then repay the whole principal and interest thereon, then book a treatment and other management same as the outright purchase. At end of the tenure, early termination of the company has to prepay the full closure amount, and company is stuck with the car. So company takes the risk on this car. And the last scenario is the operating lease. So this is the most common method for the company cars used by the corporates in Europe, in other mature vehicle market. So nowadays in India also this leasing option is very much in. So just outsource the whole vehicle acquisition, management and resale the process. So just you have to pay the fixed monthly cost for using a particular vehicle. So that's it. You don't have all these liabilities which are in the first and second scenario. And all risk relating to the maintenance, overspend and the losses of the resale risk to be borne by the leasing company. So lot of liability, you can say 70% liability, it goes back to the leasing company. So you just have to just paying for the depreciation, that is the loss in the value expected on the use of the car over the lease period. So if you see these three comparisons, you will come to know why today more and more companies are going for the leasing instead of these first two options, that is outright purchase and loan finance lease. So this is all about the lease agreement. So it is one of the important aspects of the functional administration. Thank you.